Yes, sir. Good morning, sir. What is your name, sir?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Henry's house.
Anybody have him?
It might be you.
What was your name again, sir?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Henry's house.
Okay. Okay, so who is it?
I do.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis will conduct your hearing. Well, he will be the lead on your hearing, so just hang on, sir. The next voice you will hear will be the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Salas, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
Just give me 1 second. There is just a little bit of paperwork. Let me get started. Sir, can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
Anthony Joseph Salas, 245506.
Thank you, sir, and good morning.
You're welcome. Good morning to you as well.
You appear before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the 4 alleged violations listed on the warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on May 24th, 2018. Is that correct, Mr. Salas?
Let me look here real quick. I mean, I know I did sign the forms, and it was on, yeah, May 24th.
Yeah, that's specifically, that's the notification of board hearing form.
Yes, sir.
So we always want to make sure that people were notified. That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights was that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. See no attorney with you, or are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes, sir.
I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. As you can see on the video conference screen, for the sake of simplicity, I'll begin with me because I'm sitting closest to you. My name is Louis Quinones, and I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. At the center of the bench is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. Then we have the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, and on the opposite side of the bench, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. Also in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Turner, and we'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Okay, come on.
Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So Mr. Salas and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth so help you God or so you affirm?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Mr. Salas, this hearing will be conducted in 2 phases. Phase 1 will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase 2 deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond, pardon me, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe the allegation is false, the board will take further testimony from the Department of Corrections and will have a short talk about it. But keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. And this is exclusively for the first phase of the hearing. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
I do. So I have a paper that's, it's the allegation.
Yes, sir.
1 through 4, correct?
Yes, sir.
Violation report? Okay.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is begin phase 1 by reading from the warrant of arrest. And after each allegation, you can tell me whether it is true or false. Okay, sir?
Okay.
I'll begin with the first allegation. Anyways, according to the warrant of arrest, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal laws of companies follows. Allegation number 1, violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by a failure to provide a urine specimen for testing on April 30th, 2018, for the task individual testing compliance summary dated May 8th, 2018. Mr. Salas, is this true or false?
I know that I missed some tests due to my work, and I don't see it. I have this paper here, this task paper. I'm going to assume that that data is correct, although it does not show. Oh, I believe 4:30 is correct, yes.
Okay.
Because I went on the following day at 4:31, I tried to go. So I believe that is correct.
Well, I mean, sometimes there are mistakes with the date, so I want to account for that, but keep in mind there's more than one missed test that we're talking about, so it can get a little confusing. So that's true. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, allegation number two, violation of condition number seven, was demonstrated by a failure to provide a urine specimen for testing on April 27th, 2018 for the task individual testing compliance summary dated May 8th, 2018. Mr. Solis, is this true or false?
That would be true.
Allegation number three, violation of condition number seven, was demonstrated by a use of morphine on or about February 26, 2018 for the task LCMS lab report dated March 5th, 2018. And I won't get into the chemistry. The condition is use of heroin. Heroin, if I'm not mistaken, can process into morphine in your body. It may have been heroin use, but again, is this true or false?
I would debate that. I mean, I know the test, it was a saliva sample, which could potentially have been an old test. And so as far as it did return positive for heroin or morphine, as far as me using that, I would say that would be false, but it is true that the test did come back positive. Yes.
Okay, so you're saying that is false, but I want to make sure that we respect your decision.
Well, I mean, if the test came back, according to task, positive, even though I did ask my probation officer, Giovanna, to do a GCMS test, as it says here in this paper, task to have done. Now, I know there was an LCMS test that was done, but again, I've seen this happen before where there's old tests, and they've come back positive, and usually people would ask to have them sent to the lab. So it is true, in fact, that yes, the test did come back positive. However, I believe it was said that, you know, that I had used heroin or morphine. Not true.
Okay, so then we're just going to mark that as false.
Okay.
And then move on to allegation number four, and that is violation of condition number 12, as demonstrated by your unsuccessful discharge to Maricopa County Reentry Center, or Maricopa Reentry Center, on or about May 2nd, 2018. Mr. Solis, is that true or false?
That would be true. I guess I did have an unsuccessful discharge. Yes, that would be true.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Solis. Because you stated false for allegation number three, we're going to take further information from our community corrections officer, and then we'll ask you a few questions. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Turner.
Allegation number three. On 2/26/2018, a saliva sample was collected from the offender for testing at task. The saliva sample collected on 2/26/2018 returned positive for heroin for the task LCMS lab report dated 3/5/2018.
Back to you, Mr. Solis. Now, you're stating this is false, and I'm not going to try to dissuade you. What I will ask you is, you said this is false. You don't think that this was an accurate test. Did you have ongoing struggles with heroin abuse when you were outside of the prison or inside the prison system?
I have in the past. I think that's an ongoing struggle that you always continue with. But if you look, again, I'm not sure if you guys have this paper for my task results. You know, and I understand I did miss some tests. However, I would say I'm back about 75% here for all positive tests, all negative tests.
Well, please know that we do commend you for any of your negatives, and if you were struggling to stay clean or working to stay clean when you're on community supervision, we certainly commend you for that. But I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to pass from phase one to phase two. And again, this is a motion just to pass from phase one to phase two. This isn't the end of the hearing. Based on Mr. Solis' admissions for allegations one, two, and four, as well as the information provided to us regarding allegation number three, based on warrant number 2018-W1289, as well as information from the Department of Corrections, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in from Razor Company.
Second.
Agreed.
Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. And again, Mr. Solis, that vote is just for, to pass from phase one to phase two. So if we'll just give us a moment, we will continue with the second phase of the hearing.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Solis, we're now going to continue the second phase of the hearing. Pardon me. And it is during phase two that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Turner, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information regarding your case. If you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and you will be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, sir?
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Turner.
Mr. Solis was released from ADC custody on 1-4-2018 and arrested on 5-2-2018 by ADC, no new charges. He's returned back to ADC custody on 5-2-2018 with a CSED of 8-4-2018, zero absconde. Current conviction, 2014 commitment C, count 1, drug paraphernalia violation 1 year. 2015 commitment D, count 2, narcotic drug violation, 2 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2006, commitment A, unlawful imprisonment, 1 year. 2007, commitment B, count one, marijuana violation, 6 months. This is his second term in ADC custody with a CUIR score of 3.3, mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 2, no STG information is noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2009 TIS release, absconded for 150 days, arrested, reached CSED in custody. Disciplinary is minimal with theft and disorderly conduct noted. Other arrests, 2000, burglary tool possession, Arizona juvenile probation. 2000, burglary third degree, Arizona juvenile probation. 2000, criminal damage, Arizona juvenile probation. 2000, theft means of transportation, Arizona juvenile probation. He has a GB score of G2-V3.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Back to you, Mr. Solis. We're going to make a quick review of the case supervision summary with a few questions. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections with the approved residence with your aunt, Lee Ann Jackman?
Yes, sir.
At 4402 West Mariposa Grande, Glendale, Arizona. Is this the only place that you lived when you were on community supervision?
That was my parole address. Sometimes I would stay with my mom, my sister, my brother-in-law, just because it was a little more conducive for me to get to work for transportation purposes. But primarily, that was my primary address, yes.
When you were using different residences, did you keep your parole officer informed of these changes?
Absolutely, 100%.
Thank you, we appreciate that.
And she would attest to that as well. She visited the house, she's met my mom, my entire family, so.
Well, certainly one of the positives on this case is that you seem to have been working with your parole officer. I will also, I'm just going to make an assessment here. It looks like the majority of your problems in the criminal justice system have been drug-related. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Looks like you have employment at Muscular Moving Men. The employment was not verified, but is that where you were working?
Yes, sir, and as soon as I can get out of this place, I will continue to be employed there as well.
Well, thank you.
And if I can intervene, unfortunately, I just didn't have the resources to try to get any witness statements from my work, from my work to... Part of the reason I've missed some of these tests is due to staying late at work. Part of the reason I've missed some of these tests is due to staying late at work, and or the fact that since it says on this paper here that I wasn't try to contact my employer, the HR manager's name is Chris Kuzak, and I wanted to contact him to so I could get, you know, some type of paperwork or witness statement stating that I am in fact employed, you know, at a regular job, which is a really big achievement of mine that I'm proud of, because I went from, you know, working the day after I got out, essentially with a good friend of mine, to from temp service to actually getting a regular job, a decent paying job. So.
Well, again, Mr. Salas, I do commend you for maintaining contact with the parole officer, for pursuing employment. So that's always a very positive sign, and keeping your parole officer informed of your residences. I think where trouble comes into play is in programming and sanctions. It looks like in January of 2018, you reported for initial intake, you were placed on task color code for random drug screening. Now, you had negative UAs, January 12th, March 1st, March 23rd, May 1st. Missed UAs on February 22nd and April 26th, and then a positive UA for heroin on February 26th, 2018. In sanctions notes, I think it's a bit more specific. On May 1st, 2018, you were staffed with CCS Rodriguez for several tech violations. According to the report, you had a poor attitude during staffing. You eventually admitted to using methamphetamine, THC, and heroin on April 30, 2018. You were counseled on your negative behavior. You informed that you'd be completing a 5-day sanction at MRC. You were hesitant to complete ITH at MRC. After your sanction, you were going to be placed on increased drug testing and intense substance abuse program at CHC. So, being that one of the allegations was a violation of condition number 12, as demonstrated by an unsuccessful discharge from Maricopa Reentry Center. Were you having problems staying engaged at MRC, or what's your version, sir?
Okay, so if I may rebuttal on this, no. This is one of the things that's bothered me. Again, I understand and I completely agree with, yes, I missed some drug tests. I completely did. Again, the first one that I did miss, which was a Friday actually, was 2:22. Jovana had me come into the office. Of course, I went. That was 2:26. That was a Monday. She gave me a mouth swab. That came up positive. She sent me back to task a couple days later on on 3-1. That test was negative. Now, there's a couple of tests that I missed. I understand that. I agree and admit to it. However, with the following tests that I took after missing, those tests were negative. So I was supposed to go to task, I believe, on 4:30 it was. I missed the test actually that was on 4:30 was a Thursday, and Giovanna had to come do a home visit with me. So she ended up telling me, okay, you can go tomorrow, which was Friday, I believe, 4:31. Now, I was at work that entire day. I go to work at 7 a.m. I work till easily 9 p.m. I texted her. I sent her pictures of the job site that I was on. I tried to call her. I left her a message. And I sent her at least a couple of text messages and a couple of voicemails. So then she had me go to task. What was that, 4:31? Chevy, there's a test here that's on 5-1. I'm getting to my point, I apologize for wasting time. I have this test here on 5-1, and if you look at it, it's my new color, which is green. But all of it is negative. So when I go to this MRC program here, I don't understand why this Mr. Rodriguez is saying that I admitted to using these drugs on 4:30, when clearly on 5-1, from this task report, I had all negative test results.
Mr. Salas, let me follow up a little bit with our community corrections officer, but I will say this. I think the notation says that you eventually admitted to using methamphetamine, THC, and heroin. Admitted to using these drugs, I know there's a date there that you admitted to, but that doesn't necessarily state what days you may have used those drugs.
Okay,
the other thing is this. Regarding TASC, I am certainly no expert on the TASC system. Sometimes I think that can get a little legal in terms of people testifying as to its validity, but we do understand it's a very, very accurate test. I'm going to ask our community corrections officer a very quick question, and that is, Mr. Turner, just based on your training and experience, so to speak, regarding negatives after drug use, hopefully I'm not backing you into a corner, but if someone uses X drug on Tuesday, are they usually flushed clean of the drug 72 hours later, or like?
Depending on the drug, yes. The other aspect of it too is we test at a certain level. So if it's below that level, it doesn't mean that it's not in the system. It means that we're not testing below that level. So, and the difference between LCMS and GCMS, which is what you brought up, GCMS is what is used for a urine sample. LCMS is what was done through a saliva sample. Also, on that saliva sample that he was tested, it did come up positive under the 6-mg for both heroin and morphine. It has been told to me by TASC in the past that after 12 hours, heroin starts to metabolize down and will show up as morphine.
I understand that generally. I guess my follow-up question was, okay, they metabolized down to morphine, but like 48 hours later, or they're like the I know it all depends on the individual, but it's possible that a few days later they could test negative because they haven't used heroin in
correct
4 days or
correct. And generally, they have a good idea. It's just like with alcohol; they know that if they're supposed to test on Friday and they had beer on Thursday, it will show up more than likely on Friday. However, if they don't test, and then they go on Monday because they're closed on the weekend, the likelihood of it being out of their system is great.
Okay. Thank you for helping me understand that, Mr. Turner. Back to you, Mr. Salas. I will say, with respect to you, with respect to anyone appearing before this board, if they feel that an allegation is false, I respect their position, but I also have to say that I take the TASC reports at face value, that if there's a positive for heroin or cocaine or methamphetamine, etc., I'm inclined to believe the test. So at this point, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions. Yes, Mr. Turner.
Yes, I'd like to read a couple of notes from our mess to kind of maybe clarify up some other things. On 4:30, Ms. Pivak put in there, offender failed to go to TASC as directed on 4/27/18. She directed the offender report to Black Canyon on 4:30 by 4 p.m. On 5/1, offender called his assigned community corrections officer on 4/30/18 at 15:45 hours and said that he was on a job in Mesa and would not be able to report by 4 p.m. as directed. Offender stated he would go to TASC as he failed to go on 4/27. CCO Pivak sent the offender the address to TASC in Mesa, as that's where he stated he was, and he was told that the TASC location was open until 9 p.m. and he would report then on 5/1. So he did fail to drop on 4/27. He was directed to report to the office on 4:30. Called and stated he wasn't going to make it to the office as directed. He was redirected because he was in Mesa at a job. He was then redirected on 4:30 to go to TASC that day and drop a sample, as they were open until 9 o'clock. And offender failed to go to TASC on 4:30 also to drop the TASC, the sample.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Any questions for fellow board members? Okay, I have no questions for fellow board members. Mr. Salas, we're getting very close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? Really ask that you don't repeat anything that you've told us, but this is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel is important to share?
If I can, what the community corrections officer said about me going to TASC, I believe, which was on 4:30 as I was directed to do, I did actually go to the location on Country Club And I signed in. By the time I got there, I was not able to produce a half a cup sample. I was under half a cup. And so that's when I had to, well, either way, I had to go in to meet with Mr. Rodriguez the following day, which was 5-1. So I did, in fact, go to task on Country Club before 9 p.m. I believe I got off of work somewhere around 8 o'clock. I wasn't able to produce a half a cup sample and then build up to urinate again within that less than an hour time frame. Again, I didn't in fact go there. And if I could just say, you know, I understand I may have had a poor attitude during this MRC intake, you know, and I probably was a little apprehensive because I was working and I'm trying to, you know, pay my bills and do the right thing and be at work. So, you know, when you actually have a taste of freedom and then you get taken back into the, you know, to being locked up, even though it was 5 days, and clearly I made a big mistake because I turned my 5 days into, you know, easily 22 times more than what it was. You know, normally I probably would have just waived this hearing, but I'm very adamant about trying to do the right thing, you know, maybe try to get some help, some programming, if and when I can get out onto the street. You know, I'm trying to change my life, you know, I'm trying to have a regular job and have a regular life, which clearly I didn't know you guys are going to bring up my juvenile history, but I've been on probation as a juvenile, I've been on probation as an adult, I've been on parole as an adult, and I've never been able to complete any of these things, you know, and like I told Jovana, I really actually appreciated her, because I thought she was very diligent in her work, and she did a great job with, she was really a good PO. And like I told her many times, I said, you know, I actually want to try to complete parole because it's something that I've never been able to acquire, whether it be probation or parole. And I just feel at this time in my life, you know, I'm 32 years old now, I've tried to mentally mature. I don't know if it's been a free will thing or just a chemical change in my brain, but, you know, I can lay here and do the rest of my time here and have idle time and count the cockroaches going up and down the wall, you know. But, you know, I came in here to try to present my case and plead my case. So maybe you guys could see that I actually, you know, am just trying to, have tried and I'm trying to be a productive member of society, a productive member of society eventually, or essentially, you know. And, I'm sorry
for you
really.
Well, thank you, Mr. Salas. You present as a very intelligent individual. I think you're being straightforward about some ongoing issues with drugs. There is one question I didn't ask you, and I'll just squeeze this in. How long have you been clean?
I've been clean since, I mean, to be completely honest with you, I probably used before I signed my plea bargain in around 2016, which is actually something that I'm proud of, you know, and it feels good to have clean time under my belt. It's just different. I don't, you know, my mind is different now. And I can, like I said, I mean, I could lay here for the rest of my time, you know, do however many days I have, or weeks or months that I have left to do. But I mean, is it benefiting me? You know, is it, you know, I have a job. Of course, people have, you know, good jobs, so they have families. But I mean, it's the one that I have. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. But I do.
I recognize that we're stretching your hearing out a bit, but I will also ask you, again, these are probably two questions I would have caught earlier. I asked you that one, and the other one was, what is your plan for dealing with your, you know, people say that when they're an alcoholic or have had a drug addiction that they have to live with that for the rest of their life. So what is your plan for dealing with that when you return to the community? Because you don't have that much long. Regardless of this board votes today, you don't have a lot of time left. So, what is your plan?
I mean, ultimately, what I found to benefit, I mean, really, I think it's a self-want. I know my girlfriend, she's been trying to get me to go to, you know, I try to go to church anyways, but she tries to get me to go to these different programs on the weekend or whatever, because I'm pretty busy. I usually work Monday through Saturday. I'm working 6 days a week, you know, 7 a.m. till 9 p.m. But that's one of the biggest things that I've found, that it's just the people that you associate with and if you're staying busy. Now, of course, there is some, some triggers, you know, and again, for me, I mean, it's usually just the people that you're associating yourself with, but I generally, I guess my plan is just to try to associate myself with good individuals, stay busy, stay focused, motivated, you know, and honestly, physical exertion, exercise is a big help to me, and I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you at all. Programming for me in the past was not something that I ever really considered, because as a juvenile, I've been to so many different programs. I've been to, you know, I remember when I was a juvenile on probation, they took me to the COIA program and took us to SME over there on Lyman Complex. You know, 13 years old, they take you to the COIA program, Concerned Offenders Youth Awareness, and they, like a Scared Straight program, and the inmates are yelling at you. I mean, I've been to youth improvement, all kinds of different drug classes, so I've been very apprehensive to want to go to those type of programs or classes, but I mean, I've been doing pretty good, I think, you know, yeah, I've backslidden a little bit in my mental capacity, in my mental thoughts, and but maybe it is time for me to get a little bit of help somehow, some way, and I'm not sure how to go about that, you know, because I've been out of trouble for quite some time. You know, I've just been locked up for a couple of years. I just managed not to get caught, I guess, the past, since my last incarceration. But primarily all I've been doing was, you know, just working and using drugs in the past. Obviously, it might be a lifelong struggle. I hope it's not. I hope I can persevere over that. I don't know how to go about it yet, you know, I'm just growing in my wisdom to try to find a path.
Okay, Mr. Salas. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you directly, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to individual votes? So if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
All right, thanks, sir.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I really do appreciate what Mr. Salas has shared with us today, and as I stated during my discussion with him, I do appreciate all of his negative tests, his cooperation with his PO, the fact that he was working. I think these are all positive steps. I am concerned about the positive with heroin. We heard his testimony that he felt that was false. I'll state again, at face value, I recognize how accurate the LCMS and GCMS process is, and I think Mr. Salas, probably more than anything, is at a crossroads of what I feel that he is probably really turning the corner on his struggle with drugs, whether it's heroin. He's at that age in his life, I think kind of a predictable window in the late 20s and early 30s where people make decisions and turn that corner. But there's also the practical matter that with less than 2 months left on his prison sentence and the administrative time required to make a transition, it'll be a matter of weeks that he's in, and I think he might be best served taking advantage of that time to put together a plan for his return to the community to include seeking treatment, I think by his own initiative, because he wants, and moving on with his life. But that's where I'm at, and I'm certainly open to the input of my colleagues.
I agree.
Therefore, I'm going to make a motion, and that is based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2018-W1289, a discussion of Mr. Solis as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Solis was delinquent, violating the terms and conditions of his supervision, and had lapses, was about to lapse with Coolidge Resort Company, inasmuch that he was not adhering to the conditions of supervision. And as I stated, I have to take that positive from task at face value, and that is my motion.
Second.
Great.
Okay.
I'm sorry, the second was from Mr. Neal. Second by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Solis, I hope you heard the discussion. Your supervision has been revoked and you've been released on about August 4th, 2018, which is less than 2 months away. Again, please don't take this as a total negative. I meant what I said about your successes while you were on community supervision. I honestly do believe you're at a crossroads, and I hope that you're ready to really put the drug addiction issues behind you and just be consistently productive. And I will say this too, not without the intention of scolding, but that is, the drug issues are never standalone. It's an expensive habit. People tend to go down some bad roads to feed that habit. So I really hope that you're ready to put it behind you and be productive and responsible. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place. And Mr. Solis, thank you for being so pleasant with the board. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
You too, sir.
Bye.